are at Watchman School of Prayer, and we are in class number 23. Wow. This one and the next one. And then, as I just shared with the students that are here, it's not that it's finished. You're just going to begin. You finish, and now you begin. Now you actually begin to execute everything that you have learned. And I pray that those of you that have been watching and listening on audio and video are going to do just that. Now, what's very important tonight is you just take a hold by your spirit and that you hear, you take notes, but sometimes it's better to sometimes listen. If you write so many things, you almost miss what God is saying, you know? I want to go over, of course, our theme scripture, Jeremiah 51:12. So let's all read that together, okay? And let's say it together. And set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. All right, now, real briefly, we talked about this the very first class. And so we know that a standard, setting up the standard, is a signal, is a sign. All right? We know walls means protection. And we know that Babylon has to do, the word actually means confusion, and we have confusion in the world system. And you can't say that we don't have confusion going on today with all the things that are going on. And in our own individual life, many times there is confusion, but it comes from the outside. It doesn't come from the Spirit of God. It comes from the outside at us. So what do we do? Well, it says to set up a watch. And the watch we studied is a military watch. Like a guard, all right? Like someone who's in an army. And we've learned through all these sessions that we are in an army, the army of God. And so we begin to rise up, and then it says that we are going to be strong, making the watch strong. We have to be strong because we are the watch. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's might. Amen? And it says to prepare ambushes. And preparing means to be established. Establishing yourself, being ready, okay? Being aware all the time of ambushes. What are ambushes? Those are the deceitful things or the wiles of the devil, the strategies, the problems that come up that attack us on an everyday basis. But as we become watchmen for nations, which you're going to study tonight, we have to really be aware as to what's going on. So if we get bent out of shape over any little dot and tittle in our own personal lives, there is no way that we can become watchmen for nations or for Israel, because we're too caught up in our own little world, you know? So we must understand that's what God is calling us to do, to be watchmen on the wall for Him. Now let's, tonight's class is called, the first one in class 23, Victorious Watchman Prayer. And we're going to talk about being victorious and being an overcomer. I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, and we're going to look at chapter 2. Now, in this particular chapter, in chapter 2 and 3, we're going to look at some verses in here. The Spirit of God is speaking to the seven churches or seven kinds of peoples. And that's a whole teaching in itself. But we all come from different walks of life. And in each particular instance where He is speaking, the Spirit of God, He gives them, at the end of what He tells them, He gives them similar mandates or similar things He says to them about overcoming. And you can study this out for yourself, Revelation 2 and 3, if you'd like to. And in Revelation 2 and in verse 7, He speaks to the first church. And then He tells them, or the peoples, the first peoples, He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Churches are peoples. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You must be an overcomer to eat of the tree of life. Verse 11. Now we're into the next particular church or peoples. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17, we're now into the third church. And he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Hidden manna is revelation from the Spirit of God. That's what it is. It's God's revelation from his word. I will give that revelation and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows saving he that receives it. Verse 26, we're into the next church or next set of people. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now the word overcomes, by the way, means conquers. So you could say in all these verses, he that conquers or he that overcomes. All right, what are we overcoming? We're overcoming the things that come at us, what the enemy sends and what our own mind dictates many times, our own rebellion, whatever it is. He that overcomes keeps my works to the end. What are the works of God? Well, that's part of his word, doing what his word says. Now we go to chapter 3, and in verse 5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Hallelujah. Okay? See, everybody thinks once saved, always saved. I'm not so sure about this, because if it says if you overcome, this will happen. Well, if you don't overcome and there's things that you succumb to, and God is not, of course, a condemner, and God is not, you know, unmerciful. God is merciful. But when we blatantly in the body of Messiah just go around doing whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, I mean, if we're ignorant, God doesn't hold us accountable. Praise God. But when we know truth and we choose not to do it, then we have to really take a look at what really is God saying here, you know? And that's a whole other teaching in itself. Hallelujah. Verse number 12. He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. You want to really remember this. I'm going to be talking about this in the next class at length. The city of my God. Now, the city of my God is not New York. It is not the Amsterdam in the Netherlands. It is not Colchester, Connecticut. It is not Hartford. It's not Rome, Italy, okay, where the Vatican is. The city of my God is Jerusalem. And that is such an important key as we are watchmen and we begin to understand the importance. And I might even add that much of what you've learned in all these classes culminates in an overall theme that God's heart is about Israel and Jerusalem. That is one of the biggest keys why we need to learn to pray. And here we see it's the city of our God, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Okay, and now we are in verse 21, which is the last one. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And of course, we see here Yeshua is speaking to all the people, and he ends with, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Churches are nothing more than people groups. All right? Okay, so we see that being an overcomer is very important. And overcoming means to get the better of, means to conquer. Overcoming the enemy, overcoming temptation, overcoming offenses. Overcoming means to gain superiority, to be a winner, to be victorious. We're talking about victorious watchman prayer. Now, overcoming people and overcoming prayer, there's things that we have to understand, and we've learned many classes of all the things we have to understand, and we have to review them. And we have to understand that we must constantly be sensitive continuously to the direction of the Spirit of God. Walking with God moment by moment. That's how we know how to pray and what to do. And always being aware of the devices of the enemy. Well, Pastor Susan, you talk so much about the enemy, the devil. Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, probably not even enough. Because we don't understand that there is an enemy and we don't want to focus on him. We want to focus on Jesus. He's an overcomer. But unless we know the tactics, most believers get wiped out because they don't know how to stand. Now, we know, and we've read this before, but let's look at it again. 1 Peter 5. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. Peter 5, and we're looking at verse 8 and 9. Be well balanced, I'm in the Amplified, be temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Well, what I just told you just comes right out of Scripture. It's a warning. It says, withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Boy, I'll tell you, if you get those keys into your life, be firm in your faith, be rooted, be established, be strong, be immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointing to your brotherhood, the whole body of Messiah throughout the world. We are not the only ones that get attacked. Amen? Now, look at Psalm 91, and I highly recommend that you read this psalm every day. I do it every single day. Of course, I've memorized it, so I don't have to read it. And I highly recommend you memorize it. In the day and hour that we're in with terrorist attacks and with our children, we need to be praying Psalm 91. I pray this for my family in Israel and for other people. And we need to be speaking this out loud. Now, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but this is a key psalm. In the first two verses, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In the Amplified, it says, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Now, if we are staying closely hooked up to the Spirit of God, then no enemy can withstand us because we will know how to react and to act. Amen? Yes. But staying close to the Spirit of God is also staying close to his word. Now, here are some brief checkpoints that you need to look at. And there's many more, and it has to do with many of the classes we already learned. But these are some checkpoints on being victorious as a watchman. One is, have on the full armor of God. And we had a whole class on that. And you need to be checking, and if you have to do it every day for a while, check it off. Is your armor on? Are you walking in the peace of God? Do you have the shield of faith? And so on and so forth. Go over the armor of God. And if you have to, physically, like almost a child, put it on. I put on the breastplate of righteousness and then say what it is, you know. I have my loins girded about with belt of truth. If you have to do that, do it. That's how you learn it. I did that when I first started with the Lord. I used to put it on. I literally did it in the morning. I put it on. Because what does it do? It practices what the word is telling us, to put on the armor. Sometimes we need to actually do that. People say, oh, well, I'm going to look stupid. Who cares? As long as you're learning it. Number two on a checkpoint is you've got to know how to stand. If you don't know how to stand when an attack comes, you will fall. I mean, if I didn't know how to stand up here right now as I'm talking to you, I would be on the ground. Amen? Now, just look real briefly, and we've looked at this at Ephesians 6. When God repeats something in his word, that means it's very important. And in Ephesians 6 and in verse 11, it tells you, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 13, he says it again. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. All right? Verse 14. Again, stand therefore. So in three verses, God is telling you about standing. Now, standing doesn't mean you stand there and do nothing. This is an active stand. It means you're doing something. You're activating the Word of God and your ammunition and all your weapons. All right? So if you don't know how to do that, you will have a problem when you get under attack. Number three, and let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's enduring hardship. Ah, I got to endure hardship? Oh, no. Well, the Word of God tells us about it. I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 3 to 5. It says, take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a good first class soldier of the Messiah Yeshua. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. And if anyone enters competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. Well, that's a whole teaching in itself. So what does it mean, hardship? Well, I'm going to give you an example here, and I'm going to relate it to Israelis, actually. You know, someone who is an Israeli and who's born there, if they're born in Israel, okay, I am not born in Israel, although I am a Jewish believer. Someone who's born in Israel is called a Sabra. And a Sabra is actually a cactus, okay? And you know, have you ever seen a cactus plant? The outside is very hard and prickly, right? But the inside is very soft and sweet, okay? So, we have to be like Israeli Sabras. We have to be hard and prickly so the enemy, when he comes and we have hardships and we have things we've got to endure and we've got to do this and we've got to work this and we just go through it. But we keep our hearts soft, okay? We don't take offense. We don't get upset when, you know, answers don't come from God immediately. You know, we stand strong and we stand and we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? But we still keep our hearts soft to the Lord. Now, what we're dealing with today, in terms of what we see in the world, in what's going on with Israel and with the nations and how the persecution is starting, this is a drop in the bucket, my brothers and sisters. This is boot camp today. What's coming, you have no idea. So if we can't stand today and fight the good fight of faith, if we can't stand today, even when we're in our job and we have a problem standing up for truth and righteousness, okay, it's going to grow harder because the darkness will get darker and the light will get lighter. The Bible is clear on that. So we have to learn to be a Sabra, an American-born Sabra, amen, or something like that. Because the more that we stand up for truth and righteousness, the harder the enemy will fight against you. And if you love Israel and the Jewish people, and you stand for God's people, which is what God mandates us to do, when all the nations of the world are going to come against Jerusalem, it says that, you're going to have persecution and you're going to have to endure hardship. I can tell you that right now. And so we have to understand that. And we have to make a choice in that area. I mean, it's in Isaiah 31:9, I'm not going to go there, but you can write it down. It says that Israel is the fire and Jerusalem is the furnace. Listen to that. Israel is the fire and Jerusalem the furnace. All right? And we also know that it says in the book of Zechariah that Jerusalem become a cup of poison to the nations. But to those of us that know to stand with Israel, we will stand strong. And we will know how to stand. Amen? And we will know how to be a watchman victorious for God's people. And to be able to prepare the ambushes. Number four, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. And this one is taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Messiah. Now, I've taught you this before, but again, these are some checkpoints that are very crucial in being victorious. This is a key thing in your life. If you cannot do this, I'll tell you right now, if you cannot do the scriptures we're about to read, you will never be victorious. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war after our five physical senses, all right? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5 is your key verse. Casting down what? Say it loud. Imaginations. That's reasonings that's coming from your own mind. That's what it means. Casting down every thought that's coming out of your own mind and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Anointed One. What is the Anointed One? The Word of God. If your thoughts do not line up with the Word of God, you're not going to make it to be victorious. If you do not take your thoughts and you take them captive and you pull them down when you get depressed or you get angry or you get rejected or whatever it is, you pull them down to the Word of God. You get fearful, you pull it get down to the Word of God. Yes, it's not that easy when the attack is on. But you have to master this. You must master this. And along with that, what is coming out of your mouth? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So are his words. So how you think inside is what's going to come out of your mouth. If you don't master your thought life and your mouth, you cannot be victorious. That is a master key to your life, let alone fighting for somebody else's life, okay? Number five, watching the traps and devices and schemes of the enemy. Watching the traps, devices, and schemes of the enemy. This is a checkpoint. And we're in 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This is what I said in the beginning. If you are ignorant of the devices of the enemy, the Bible tells us here, we're not ignorant. Well, why is so much of the body of Messiah ignorant? They don't even know about the devil. They never even heard of him. All right? They don't even think he exists. Well, it'd be nice if he didn't exist, and one day he won't exist. Hallelujah. But he exists, and we need to know his devices. Now, devices can come in many ways. One of the things I highly recommend is you check the hindrances to your prayer. We had a whole class on hindrances to prayer. Those are devices, all right? For instance, unforgiveness, I'm not going to go into that. We had a whole class on hindrances. Unforgiveness is a device of the enemy. That is a device. Anger is a device. Pride is a device. It's not always just an attack that you think some big explosion is going to happen, all right? Now, another area of a device of the enemy is stealing our time. Are you spending time with God every day? Are you in the Word of God every day? Every day, Pastor Susan? Yes, every day. Even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes. If you don't have the time to be in the Word of God, then you're too busy. I'll tell you right now. And that is a device of the enemy. And you will not be victorious, because the Word of God is the only way you can be victorious, fellowshipping with the Lord, praying in the Spirit of God. Amen? Now another device, and let's just look at this a minute. Let's go to Matthew 16. Believe it or not, another device of the enemy is another believer. What are you talking about, another believer? Well, let me show you an example of this. It happened to Yeshua, to Jesus himself. Another believer can speak negative thoughts, their negativity, about something that God is telling you to do. And it's a device of the enemy. Matthew 16, and we're going to look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now we know that Yeshua, Jesus, loved Peter. Amen? But right here, Satan, the enemy, was using Peter as a device to get Yeshua, Jesus, out of the will of God. Now let me say this, those of you watching out there, listening on the audio, sometimes even your own husband and wife, your own son or daughter, mother or father, sister or brother can be, get thee behind me, Satan. Because they could be speaking out of what's called an antichrist system, which is a system which is anti-anointing. They are coming against the will of God for your life. How do I know this? Well, because it's true. It happens. It happened to Yeshua. We are not exempt. And that is a device of the enemy. Now, does that mean you run around telling your husband or wife, get thee behind me, Satan? I don't think so, okay? But you have to discern what is coming from the Spirit of God and what is not coming from the Spirit of God. Naturally, if you're married to someone that is not a believer, you are gonna constantly hear things opposite of what you're supposed to do for God. But many times it's believers, because they are really not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and they don't understand how to be in the will of God, and many times people are not willing to go all the way. So they are walking in one level, and you're walking in another level. And they might speak something out that's not from God. God may speak to you to go to Israel. And somebody in your family may say, oh, you don't want to go there because you could get killed. But the Spirit of God might actually be saying to you at the next time there's a tour or something, you need to go. So your family member, out of fear, will stop the move of God in your life. God could be speaking to you to go to particular ministry. I know this for a fact. We've experienced this with husbands and wives, even coming to our own congregation, where the person, the man or the woman, will know it's God for them to be here, and the other one says it's not. And so it pulls them right out of the Spirit of God. So you have to know the devices of the enemy. That's another tactic, all right? Now, another area that you need to be a checkpoint on the device of an enemy is division. Now, I already just covered that really in this last thing. It flows in with it. But in many instances, division comes, and a kingdom divided cannot stand. And so when there's not unity, especially even in a family, it's not going to make it. Unless two agree, they cannot walk together. Somewhere down the road, it won't work. The same in churches, the same in congregations. If there's not unity in the vision and in what people are doing, I can tell you now, division will come. You're better off having a smaller congregation than a larger one with discord. Now, when it comes to family, you can't do that. So we need to watch and pray. Amen? And we need to discern what is going on. And that's something that you all need to pray for. You need to pray for the gift of the discerning of spirits. You need that today more than ever before. And that's a gift. It's one of the gifts, and God will give it to you. Just ask the Spirit of God. God, I pray, I want the gift of the discerning of spirits in a greater measure so that you can see clearly different things that are going on, especially with devices of the enemy. Because remember, the enemy appears as an angel of light. Because if you recall, he was called the angel of light in the beginning. And that's how he deceives people. Now, another device or another trap or another checkpoint, let's say, to see are you victorious, another one would be the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. This comes under the same category of watching the traps of the enemy. Now, just let's look real quickly at 1 John 2. And this has to do with how caught up we are with our own lives. And that is a real device of the enemy, being caught up in our own lives. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 15 to 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does that mean we can't have nice things? We can't drive a nice car, have a house? No, that's religious thinking. God did not call us to be in poverty, all right? What this is talking about is the world system that we have to be involved in every day should not come before God. Our job should not come before God. And of course, people, we have to work. You don't work, you don't eat. You have to provide for your family. So if you think that just staying before God is going to provide for your family, that's another deception, okay? So that doesn't work either. But we have to have the mind of Christ, of the Anointed One. And that means we have to rightly divide the word of truth. And we have to see what is going on in our own individual lives. We are all at different levels and different places in God. And there's all different things that pull us away from God. And we have to check it out. What's pulling us away? So he's saying, don't love the world. It says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Now here's your key. Are you doing the will of God? The most important thing in your whole life is to do the will of God. God may be training you to do maybe one thing, one time for God. I don't know. But if you are in the place that God wants you to be, if you are doing what God wants you to do, and you are keeping steady, and you're keeping faithful, and you're in the will of God, then you're not going to get trapped by the Babylonian or the world system and the pulls of this life. I mean, we need to be working and be around the people of the world. I mean, it's obvious, you know. It says that we're going to be in the world, but we're not of it. But we have to discern sometimes. You know, I know people, they have meetings, they get real involved with their job, or they're studying for something, and their job completely pulls them out of going to congregation, to synagogue, to church, to any meetings at all. Now, there's something wrong with that. Because God has to come first place in our life. And again, it goes back to if we're too busy being busy with the things of the world, even with our children, even with our house. I have a big house. Praise God, I'm blessed with it. But I'll tell you, I have to make a schedule. I have to know how do we maintain what we do. I mean, my priority is to teach the word. Sometimes it becomes very difficult with all the things that happen. But that has to be a priority. You must prioritize your life. And God must come first. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Now, we have many devices to overcome the enemy that we have learned in all of these classes. Many, many devices. And we need to go over them over and over so we get them in our spirit, so we can live out of our spirit when an attack comes and we know what to do. Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 11 talks about being an overcomer. And they overcame him, the enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. We need to know what the blood stands for, and that was a class we had in the very beginning. Don't ever go out of your house without pleading the blood. Don't ever drive your car without pleading the blood. You out there watching and listening, plead the blood over your children. We do it all the time in our household. That's so important. And if you don't understand the revelation of the blood, you must study it till it becomes rhema. In other words, life. You know what it means. It's not that you're saying, blood of Jesus, like it's a ritual. You have to know what it means and how it's an attack against the enemy and a protection. You see that it says that that's the first thing. And how the blood, God's blood that he shed on the cross for us, that blood gives us our healing. If you don't understand what it appropriates, it gives us our righteousness. That's how you overcome, by the blood, what was done. And that's learning about the promises of God that was done through Messiah and through what he did for us because of his blood. I mean, none of us can enter the kingdom of heaven except through the blood. There is no other way except through the blood. So the blood, you see, is one, the first thing that it says as an overcomer is the blood. So it's not just pleading the blood of ourselves, but knowing it, understanding that we have a right to all the promises, to prosperity, to everything through the blood. Amen? And then it goes on to say, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word of your testimony is not just your individual testimony. The word of your testimony is the word of God. The word of God is your testimony. We all have individual testimonies of how we came to the Lord. But the bottom line is, the testimony, the one that's the most important, is what does the word say about your situation? That is the only truth there is. Everything else is lower truth. This is the highest truth. The rest is not the real truth. And loving not your lives unto the death, it doesn't mean that you may have to be martyred, although some people might. It means not your will. Not my will, Yeshua, but your will be done. I bind myself into your perfect will. I bind myself into your perfect. You want to pray a prayer and get in the will of God? Those of you watching and listening, pray that. Let's all say it. I bind myself into the perfect will of God. If you do that every single day, you will move into the perfect will of God. But then when things go, ouch, don't come running to me and say, what's happening here? Well, you're binding yourself into the perfect will of God. And as you bind yourself into the perfect will of God, things that are not perfect will get exposed. Amen? I don't hear so many amens in here. I don't know about out there. Ouch. Not amen, it's ouch. But that's the truth. You bind yourself into the perfect will of God, that which is not perfect will get exposed. That's how you become an overcoming, victorious watchman. Amen. And that's something that we need today. Amen? Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Boy, I wish we were there. Soon, Lord, soon. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. It's talking about Yeshua. He's called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority. The faithfulness of God is God's Word. I can tell you now that if you realize God is faithful, God is faithful. Faithful. I don't care what the enemy brings at you. You get this word and you eat it. You chew it and you munch on it and you meditate on it. Whatever it is you're standing for, God is faithful. You may have to go through battles and go through hardship. God is faithful because it says he is clothed in blood and his name is the Word of God, and the Word of God says it never returns void. It goes to where it's sent, and there it prospers. The reason it returns void is because believers don't believe that God is faithful. That's one of the biggest problems. And if you're going to be an overcoming watchman, victorious, you need to know God is faithful. I heard a powerful preaching, and it had to do with Sarah. We know who Sarah is, right? Sarah and Abraham. All right? He was 100 and she was 99 when they had a child. Now, how many of us would believe to have a child at 99 and 100? I don't think so. But Sarah, it says in Hebrews 11, in fact, let's just look there real brief. At first, Sarah didn't believe it. When God said that, when she was 90, she laughed. But let me tell you, afterwards, Hebrews 11 and verse 11, this is the faith chapter. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child because she was past age, because she judged God faithful who had promised. If you judge God faithful to what you're believing for, those of you watching out there and listening on the audio, and those of you in here, if you judge God faithful, if you judge Him faithful to what He has promised you, no matter what you see happening, it's going to happen. That's what Sarah did. And that's how she got the child. We must judge God faithful, no matter what it looks like. That's a key to being victorious. And we know that Yeshua told us in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Watching and praying means muttering the word of God, believing God, taking what God promised you and telling it back to Him, telling it into the atmosphere when the devil comes to attack you at 3 o'clock in the morning. When your mind is giving you fits, you take that word and you speak it out over and over again. That's watching and praying. Because in order for us to be victorious and overcomers and be able to pray for nations, we have to be able to withstand in our own life. If we cannot withstand in our own life, how can we help God's people in the time of need? Let's close with this scripture in 1 John 5. John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. There's the Babylonian system. Amen? Yes. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, here it is, victorious watchman, that overcomes the world, our faith. What's our faith in? Our faith is in the faithful God. The God that has given us a book for our whole life. You don't need anything else but this book, okay? And maybe some counsel from some pastors. Which always helps. Because that's what God does. He puts people in our lives to help us and show us, because maybe we don't quite understand some things, or maybe we had parents that didn't show us the thing. Maybe we didn't learn how to do something in the natural realm. Maybe we didn't learn how to do this. Maybe we didn't know how to go shopping. So we need people in our lives. But between that and the Word of God, our faith overcomes. It says, who is he, verse 5, that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? As long as we believe in Yeshua as the Son of God, and that the Word of God is the Word of God and it's faithful, God is faithful to His promises. No matter what happens, no matter what it looks like out there in America, whatever nation you're living in Israel, God gave us the end of the whole picture. If we were watching a movie, we already know the end. And God is faithful to the end. Isaiah 14, 24, my husband preaches this many times. Is it Isaiah 14, 22 maybe? I can't. Let me. 14:24. Whatever God purposes comes to pass. Whatever God purposes comes to pass. If God has purposed for your healing, it'll come to pass. God has purposed for Israel to be his nation and his people to be there and Jerusalem to be his throne. It's going to come to pass. It doesn't matter what happens anywhere else in the world. But he certainly needs us. He needs us to help pull it through. How do we pull it through? Through everything that we've learned, by standing strong, by believing God, and by being in the will of God every day of our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen.